Rain overnight, low in the mid-40s. Chance for rain continues in the morning, then turning partly sunny by the afternoon. The high tomorrow, the upper 50s. Clear sky overnight tomorrow night. Overnight low in the low 30s. Partly sunny on Sunday with a high near 50. Right now, we have 60 degrees at 3:06 from the Window World Studios at Westport. I'm Kent Martin, KTRS News.
Hi, this is Stuart Rosenblum, president of Stuart's America Mortgage.
Stewie!
Mortgages are the biggest investment that a person's going to make in their life. Yet most people don't know anything about it. Tune in for Mortgages and More with Stewie. That's me, where we can go over all the different types of mortgage programs in simple terms. You, me.
Stewie!
You'll become an expert after the first show.
Listen to Mortgages and More with Stewie at its new time. Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KTRS.
Weekday mornings at 6:35, Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus with insights on the markets and investing. And for your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and listen weekday mornings at 6:35 here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Everywhere on the Big 550 KTRS and worldwide via the free KTRS app. Welcome to the show. We got Max here in the studio with me behind the control board. Hi, Max. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, Paul. How are you?
Good. And Tim is in the traffic center. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm doing well. Thanks.
We have a lot of things to get to this afternoon, but the very first thing I want to do is respond to a lot of emails and Facebook messages I've been getting about people asking what's going to happen to me once Guy Phillips comes in here in a couple of weeks and takes over the afternoon show. People have been asking me and other people at the radio station, what happens to Paul's Friday show? And the answer to that is there won't be a Paul's Friday show anymore at that point. Guy is going to work 5 days a week. I mentioned this quickly last week on the show, but I still am getting questions about it, and so I just want to get this out of the way. Guy will be working Monday through Friday, so I won't be here on Fridays, and obviously I won't be here on Mondays. The Monday thing was just a stopgap measure for a few months. The Friday thing, while I've enjoyed doing this for over 5 years every Friday afternoon, I will not be doing it after the final Friday show on February 9th. However, I will tell you that I am in discussions with management about an alternate plan. And in addition to that alternate plan, I also will be around this radio station filling in for people when they go off on vacation, spring break or summer or whatever that may be. So it's not like I'm being erased from the KTRS website and airwaves, never to return again. There will be plenty of times when I'll be on here and certainly on the station and on the website and on my own website, harrisonline.com. And if you want me to keep you updated on all that, you can become my Facebook friend. I don't turn down any requests on Facebook. Well, the only thing I do is once I confirm your request and say, okay, we can be friends, I won't follow you. I immediately unfollow you because the idea is for you to follow what I'm doing. I just don't have time. I've got, you know, a lot of people following me on Facebook. I don't have time to follow everybody. But if you want to follow me and see what's up with the future plans, you can do that. Or follow me on Twitter at Paul Harris Show, or as I mentioned, on my website, harrisonline.com. So unfortunately, that means that I won't be working with these two great gentlemen, Max and Tim, every Friday afternoon. But they have their own responsibilities and other things that they do here at the station, and they'll keep mighty busy. And
you know, Tim and I have already talked about this. We are going to launch our own show, and this is a sort of the debut. I haven't told anybody about this, but yeah. Tim and I have been having some clandestine meetings for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to kind of turn broadcasting on its ear, right, Tim?
I'd like to. I think Paul needs, we've been talking about the way radio is and stuff like that for years, and alternate plans in my world. I always met the Missouri Department of Employment Security.
Yeah, that doesn't work when you're a freelancer like I am.
Yeah, right.
I don't live in the W-2 world. I live in the 1099 world, and that doesn't work at that particular office. But it does mean, you know, once February 12th rolls around, Tim will be reunited with Guy after... Where was the last time you guys worked together?
You know, I was at Y98, I believe, 1990 to 1993.
Well, he was there through the entire 20th century, so you had to...
Yeah, he was.
That means that your time there overlapped, and so you guys know each other, and so you'll be part of his show, and I'll just I'll be jealous of him because I won't be able to work with you anymore. I've always enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and there's not much more to say about that. As I said, when I know more, I will tell you more. But in the meantime, we're going to have some fun this afternoon. Coming up about 20 minutes or so, I'm going to talk to a guy named David Evanier, who I interviewed back in 2015 when he published a biography of Woody Allen. And David wrote to me this week and said, you know, all these actors and actresses are coming out and apologizing for having done Woody Allen movies over the years. And some of them are saying, you know, I'm sorry I worked with him. They're donating their fees to some charity, a Me Too charity or a Time's Up charity or something like that. And he has some thoughts on these celebrities who are doing exactly that. And so we're going to have him back on the show and talk about that. And it fits right in with a lot of other Me Too and Time's Up kind of stories, the newest of which is the story of Steve Wynn, who is a casino mogul, doesn't own any properties here in St. Louis, but owns some big ones in Las Vegas and has been responsible for some of the biggest resorts there. He's the guy who built the Mirage and Treasure Island and then the Bellagio, and then he sold all of that and opened up his own place instead of being a part of the corporate setup that now owns Bellagio, et cetera, which is MGM properties. Steve Wynn has his own casinos, the Wynn, and the Encore, which is the mirror image of it right next door, if you've ever been to the north end of the Vegas Strip. Well, now the Wall Street Journal has published today a story in which dozens of women say that he not just sexually harassed them, but actually sexually assaulted them. One of them was a manicurist who worked at the Wynn in 2005. Says she went to the suite that Steve Wynn has as his office and home at the Wynn, and says that he forced her to have sex, and things got very, very ugly. And when she told this to other people and the word got back, of course, Steve Wynn denied it. But as in the Bill O'Reilly case, he wrote her a big check. $7.5 million settlement for something he claims never happened. Now, guys, how often have we talked about this in the past? There are lots of things I didn't do and didn't pay anybody because I didn't do them.
Right.
I never understand the guys who claim that. I'm going to give you the hush money, but that's not a proof that I ever did anything wrong. Well, if you didn't do anything wrong, you wouldn't pay her. Especially when you're rich and have a legal team that can keep things hung up in court for a long, long time. His lawyer says, of course, well, he did it because, you know, we didn't want to have to go into a very long legal proceeding, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what you're paid for. This guy is worth hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. And by the way, was also finance chairman for Donald Trump, who also has issues like this. That's not the only one. The Wall Street Journal says they have talked to 150 people, and dozens of them who worked at Wynn's casinos have told the behavior that, quote, cumulatively would amount to a decades-long pattern of sexual misconduct by him. Some described pressuring employees to perform sex acts. In other cases, he was taking off the towel while he was being massaged in the private massage suite in his office and insisting that when they would massage his thigh, they move higher, which you know exactly what that means, that he wanted, and refused to cover his genitals. There are plenty of them in here. There's even a quote from a guy who was an executive at the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas when Wynn ran that casino decades ago. His name is Dennis Gomez. He said in a deposition in the early 1990s lawsuit that Gomez quote, routinely received complaints from various department heads regarding Wynn's chronic sexual harassment of female employees. That guy said that under oath in a deposition. In many cases, some of these women did go to the human resources people in the Wynn Empire, and they were told, okay, we've lodged your complaint, and then nothing ever happened. Which means that other people have been responsible for allowing this, for enabling this sort of thing. Now, of course, when you've got a super wealthy billionaire casino mogul at the top of your company, you know, women are afraid to come forward and say anything, because even after they've gone to HR and nothing happened, they have to quit to stop that sort of thing. They have to give up their livelihood. And there's no reason any woman should be deprived of any job just because some guy wants to let his junk hang out and try to get women to touch it, which is what we're talking about here. Now, while we're on this subject, the whole Me Too movement goes back several months to the first allegations we heard late last summer about Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein, the former film industry executive and producer at the Weinstein Company, and before that at Miramax. Now, another woman has come out with claims against him and has filed another lawsuit. His former personal assistant, and right there, that should send shivers down Weinstein's spine, because your personal assistant knows all of your secrets. This is not somebody who happened to work in a movie theater where one of Harvey Weinstein's movies was shown, about as far away as you could get from Harvey Weinstein. No, this is somebody who worked with him every day and says she was forced to work in a, quote, pervasive and severe sexually hostile environment for the more than 2 years that she was employed there. She is suing Harvey Weinstein and his brother Bob Weinstein and Weinstein Company executives for discrimination and harassment. She claims that when she was 26 years old, she quickly learned there were no boundaries between Weinstein's work and personal lives. According to the lawsuit, quote, much of Ms. Rehal's work as an employee involved catering to Harvey Weinstein's sexual appetites and activities and catering to his demeaning and often abusive family members. Ms. Rehal was required to be involved in and aware of the preparations for and clean up after Harvey's extremely prolific sexual encounters. She kept a list of his contacts that included a special asterisk to denote which were his girls, setting up an apartment near the office that he could use for sexual liaisons, and had to buy lingerie and manage his stock of erectile dysfunction injections. Now, she didn't have to inject him with them, but she always had to make sure that whatever pants or coat he was wearing when he went to the apartment, there always had to be a shot ready to go in a pocket so that he could use that when he got there. She also claimed that she regularly had to work with him while he had no clothes on. Now, I'll tell you right now, to me, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. Your boss wants you to work and isn't wearing clothes? No, thank you. She specifically mentions taking dictation of emails from him while he was in the nude on an almost weekly basis.
Taking what now?
Dictation, yeah. Calm down, Beavis. She also claims that Weinstein routinely made her ride in the back of his chauffeured Lexus SUV and groped her and made sexist comments to her, calling her the C word and the P word, occasionally saying, what's wrong? Is the tampon up too far today? Now, again, you go to HR, this is the boss. HR is not going to do anything about the powerful guy. If there were some low-level executive who were doing this sort of thing, HR might be able to take action against them. But you can't do it when it's the billionaire boss. Of course, the spokesperson for Harvey Weinstein says he categorically denies these claims, blah, 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 blah. But they go on and on and on. And the difference between these and Woody Allen, by the way, is, as you'll learn when I talk to David Evanier again, Woody Allen, one claim. Harvey Weinstein, dozens of claims. And when I said this goes back to Harvey Weinstein, let me correct that. Doesn't it really go back to Bill Cosby? Because his case is, a couple of years since we started hearing from all those women.
That iconic magazine cover with all of the accusers together on that same cover.
Dozens and dozens of them.
Yeah.
Did you know that on Monday night, Bill Cosby was on stage doing comedy?
Yeah.
He got up at some jazz club in Philadelphia.
Wow. What club is going to book Bill Cosby?
The La Rose Jazz Club. He got up and did some scat singing with the upright bass accompaniment. I will tell you, for the punishment music today, after reading the story, I actually thought about going back into my punishment music library and bringing back Bill Cosby doing things like butchering Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club. Mm-hmm. But you know what? There's nothing funny about it. I listened to it at home in my office. There's nothing funny about it anymore. But that's what he was doing. And then he got behind the drum kit and played with the jazz band in a jazz session. And then he got on his wooden stool with a headset microphone on and started telling stories about his quiet Uncle William, who loved to drink, and the birth of his younger brother when he was a kid growing up in public housing, and aging and blindness and all that sort of stuff. And the room was packed. Part of the reason it was packed is because Cosby's people invited the media to the performance 2 hours before it started.
Wow.
So, of course, photographers and reporters are going to go down there. But also, there were regular, everyday people, some of whom probably just went to go to a jazz club on a Monday night and were shocked that Bill Cosby was there. I don't know about you, but I don't stay. I walk out.
I not only walk out, but if I do stay, I don't think I order anything to drink.
Yeah, particularly if you're of the female persuasion.
But did I understand it right that it was just, and I may be wrong on this, I thought they said the place was filled with his friends. You know, it wasn't just a crowd that he just walked into. And
It says it's a mostly African-American crowd of about 50 people. Small jazz club.
So okay.
I don't know who the people were who were there. You might be right. But still, you're encouraging this guy, who is, by the way, going back on trial in April, mm-hmm. because the first one was a mistrial. He's going back on trial in April for 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault from this claim by one woman back in 2004 that he drugged and molested her at his mansion outside of Philadelphia. So that is still to come. And incidentally, the first trial took place before Harvey Weinstein et al. And the whole Me Too Time's Up movement of the last 5-6 months. I can't help but wonder if it's going to be a little bit different with the jury now than it was then. Are they more likely to believe the women? Which is what I've been saying from the beginning, even with the Cosby story. Believe the women. And then one last thing before we take the break, Max. Speaking of the women, how about this guy who wants to be the Republican candidate to run against Claire McCaskill for Senate from Missouri?
Are you talking about Cortland Sykes?
That's his name.
He was on the McGraw-Milhaven show earlier today.
How'd that go?
Well, it probably is about as well as you would think. He doubled down on his point of view.
His point of view is that feminists are she-devils and that his wife, he expects her to have a home-cooked dinner for her at 6 o'clock every night. Quote, quote, one that she fixes and one that I expect my daughters to learn to fix after they become traditional homemakers and family wives. He wants daughters who will be homemakers rather than career-obsessed banshees or nail-biting, manophobic feminist she-devils, unquote.
Are there still really people like that out there?
That's what I thought! Yeah, I actually thought to myself, even Don Draper on Mad Men wasn't this bad. My second thought was, how'd you like to be a woman who might like to apply for a position with a United States senator? He can't possibly hire any women after this. No woman is allowed to work in a job that might keep her from taking care of her man. You know, that's that evangelical crap that I can't stand. He says feminists have redefined womanhood to suit their own nasty, snake-filled heads.
Snake-filled?
Quote, that's a quote. Some reporters went to the other candidates who are going to be running on the Republican side. Josh Hawley spokeswoman Kelly Ford said, when told about Sykes' comments, well, bless his heart. And my favorite is a guy named Jeffrey Carson, who's a spokesperson for another one who wants to run, Austin Peterson. Jeffrey Carson responded with a quote that's often attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte, quote, never interfere with an enemy while he's in the process of destroying himself, unquote. That pretty much does it. And somewhere Todd Akin's going, oh, I'm the bad guy. I'm right. The bad Republican. And this guy, woo. This is the Big 550 KTRS. More of the Paul Harris Show after this.
After a career in the Marine Corps, Don Moore got involved in local government because he was tired of Republicans surrendering to Democrats, overspending, and tax increases.
I decided to run for state representative because our current representative, Mr. Charlie Meyer, didn't do what we sent him to Springfield to do. I didn't feel he was representing myself or my family and our conservative values.
Don Moore's running for state representative against a Republican who did the same thing in Springfield.
He ended up voting for a budget and crossed over to support Mike Madigan to raise our taxes by 32%. Those are not conservative values. We have Democrats do that for us. We don't need Republicans in office to vote for higher taxes.
Don Moore knows why he fights.
My wife and my daughters, they give me so much pleasure and they make me want to fight for their futures.
For his family and yours. Isn't it time the Republican Party had more of Moore and less of Meyer?
I'm running for state representative. I like to bring my budgeting experience and conservative values to Springfield. I ask for your support.
Liberty Principles paid for this ad and is solely responsible for its contents, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Acme Home Insurance.
Yes, I'd like to make a claim.
What are you wanting to claim, sir?
My water heater broke down.
Sorry, but your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover water heater breakdowns.
So, do you cover?
Home damage from things like earthquakes, volcanoes, a zombie apocalypse.
A zombie apocalypse? But that'll never happen.
But if it did, you'd be covered, sir.
But not my water heater?
I'm afraid not.
But his water heater could have been covered with a home warranty from American Home Shield. We cover major components of air conditioners, plus 20 other home systems and appliances, like electrical systems, plumbing, refrigerators, and more. For valuable free information, call 1-800-700-1134. Homeowners insurance can cover what might happen.
Zombies are coming!
But a home warranty helps cover what will happen.
Now the dryer won't work.
Be sure with the Shield. American Home Shield. For valuable free information, call 1-800-700-1134. That's 1-800-700-1134.
Limitations and exclusions apply. See plan for details.
Looking for ways to save with your Medicare plan? Walgreens is a preferred network pharmacy with many of the nation's plans, which could mean lower copays for you. So bring your prescriptions to a Walgreens pharmacy today to start saving. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Walgreens participates as a preferred network pharmacy with Cigna HealthSpring and Humana. Walgreens participates with other plans. See walgreens.com/Medicare for details.
Weekday mornings at 6:35. Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus with insights on the markets and investing. And for your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and listen weekday mornings at 6:35 here on the Big 550 KTRS.
KFC's signature pot pie is filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken and veggies topped with golden flaky crust, all for just $3.99. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
It's the Monday edition of the Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS. During that commercial break, we played this campaign commercial for some guy, I don't even know what he's running for, in Illinois. And I said to Max, is there an election coming up soon? It's January. Why are we running campaign commercials for somebody? It turns out there is a primary, a Republican primary in March in Illinois. Maybe there's a Democratic primary, too. I don't know. I guess there would be. The primary day is usually the same for both parties. That's ridiculous to have it in March when the election, the general election, is not till November. At least Missouri says, you know what, let's hold off on that for a while. We don't have it in Missouri until August. Mm-hmm. That seems about right. It should be the same dates everywhere, the same, you know, we should all just know when elections are and have them on whatever that day. Sometimes we have elections that pop up in April.
It's almost like they don't want people to vote.
I think that they just haven't thought about how regular people run their lives.
But you're being awfully generous.
Well, I would think that if it's your party, you want people to vote in your party's primary.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
I was talking about Bill Cosby a moment ago and him showing up on stage there. My daughter, who is my go-to person on all things Me Too, she's got a great perspective on these things. Her response was, that was absolutely infuriating. A world where sexists and rapists are given platforms and the chance to be charming is not a world that is a friend to women or survivors of sexual assault of any gender. And she's absolutely right. Let's turn to something else. The XFL is coming back. Yawn!
Yay.
You know, Vince McMahon is sort of a genius because the XFL was obviously too stupid of an idea for the year 2000, but it might fit right in with 2018.
Well, you know what? Instead of last time around, we're having He Hate Me, now we could just have We Hate You.
Right.
your league only lasted 1 year and was a big bomb. And incidentally, he came forward and announced that he's going to put $100 million of his own money into this. And yet does not have a broadcast partner. At least when he did this in 2000, he had NBC on board.
Yeah. Last time he made the big announcement in 1998, and then they spent 1999 getting all the teams together and creating more buzz. 2000 was their one and only season, which took place during the NFL's offseason. It's the same exact plan here. They're announcing it in 2018. They'll do the run-up in 2019, and then 2020 is the first season, again, during the offseason of the NFL. He says all the games will be 2 hour maximum.
Stop right there.
Yes.
I'm a lifelong football fan.
Sure.
I know that NFL broadcasts tend to run a little bit long because of all the commercials and all that other stuff in there, but also because of the pace of the game.
Yes.
You've got an hour of actual game time. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean there's a play going on at all time, but it's 15 minutes per quarter.
Yes.
An hour of play time. And you're going to have another hour of non-play time filled up with what? Are you going to even have enough commercials and pregame and halftime stuff?
I think if you look at what he did with WWE and WWF, which he says they're not going to be connected, but of course they are, they're going to have so much of a pregame and postgame. He says there's no halftime, there's not going to be any kind of halftime, but they're going to do, I think, and create storylines like they do with WWE. Like, oh, this rivalry. I mean, the NFL does that,
too. Oh, yeah, that great rivalry that goes back to last week, which was the first game of the season ever.
They say that all the games will be no longer than 2 hours. They're not going to bring back these scantily clad, overly sexy cheerleaders.
No, there won't be any cheerleaders.
Right, exactly, yeah. But although the nicknames on the back of the jerseys, which was the only thing that other sports entities sort of liked. I mean, the NBA has done nickname nights, and you've had, you know, I think that one is definitely coming back. Will this be a success? No, of course not. It wasn't back in the year 2000, and nobody is going to watch this in 2020.
Now, here's the big problem for him. He has no broadcast partner. No sports league can make it without television.
Well, you know, okay.
What's he going to do, stream it on Facebook?
Well, possibly. I mean, I don't think that broadcast television is as important for making a splash these days.
It is for live sports. It's not as important for other content.
Twitter has already had a deal with the NFL where you can watch some games on your phone.
No one watches it on Twitter.
I'm saying.
The Thursday night games were on Amazon this season. Mm-hmm. No one, and by no one, I mean 1/40th of the people who watched it on
air. But again, if he's going after possibly a younger audience, a WWE audience, again, he knows his clientele. He already has a pay subscription WWE service, which is $9.99 a month. Let's say XFL goes to that kind of a subscription model. People didn't think that Netflix would be successful, and obviously it's been huge. I think that he could be looking at a different model than what the NFL does.
Does Netflix stream a lot of live content? Zero. Because Netflix understands what their platform is for.
Well,
and Vince McMahon may be good at wrestling, but it's not much good at anything else. And incidentally, let's speak about football for a second. This is a time when the NFL ratings themselves on TV are down almost 10%.
Which is why he's doing this. He looks at the great Goliath has some issues now, and he's thinking, now I can come in and actually attack the NFL. He's doing this big campaign that is for the fans. It's going to be a safer game. They're not going to have any politics. Both of those things, which, of course, if you're not political, that's still political statement, but my point is
his wife works in the Trump administration.
By bringing up politics and by bringing up safety, those are two arrows right away to the NFL. That's saying we're going to address things that you're not addressing.
Yeah, we're going to make it much safer. Players, don't touch each other. That's the only way you can guarantee a safe football game.
The strange thing about the safety claims, which he says we're going to be talking to, I love this quote. He goes, we're going to be talking to medical doctors as opposed to other kinds of doctors. But how do you make the game safer and yet have fewer penalties? Because he's also said we'll have far fewer penalties. I don't see how those two things go together. But again, I'm not predicting this to be a great success.
Jim, you want to go in on a PSL for me for the new St. Louis XFL team?
Yeah, I'll be right there with you, Paul.
Okay, good.
Now, if we get one,
I'm going to pay for it with Bitcoin.
If we get one, I certainly hope that the team colors are purple and we're called the Stallions, because we were going to be the St. Louis Purple Stallions. I would love for that to happen.
I know. Jerry, we miss you. I got a break. We're coming back to talk about whether or not Woody Allen should be shunned in retrospect by some of the people who worked with him. I'll talk to Woody Allen's biographer, David Evanier, right after this on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, guys, it looks like we just got a report of a bumper in the roadway on southbound Highway 55. It looks like it's just south of Richardson Road between Richardson and Imperial, Maine. I'm starting to see some slowdowns down there. Also, it looks like we have an incident on westbound 4064 just before Clarkson. A camera, it's just around the bend and you can't see it, but boy, traffic is backing up east of Timberlake Manor. They're still working with this accident that's blocking the right lane on westbound Highway 70 east of Bermuda, and we're looking at traffic that's jammed back all the way to Kings Highway. Eastbound Highway 4064 downtown, that's heavy Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. And we have westbound 4064 running a bit slow from Kings Highway through McCausland. This traffic report brought to you by the Ectrogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. A bad cold or flu season is upon us. The difference between cold and the flu is that flu brings a fever. So be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Ectrogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, it's backed by more than 70 clinical studies. That's a look at traffic. I'm Tim Weiland from the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center.
Find your perfect RV at the St. Louis RV Vacation and Travel Show February 1st through the 4th at America Center. Save $2 on admission at stlrv.com. The St. Louis RV Vacation and Travel Show is presented by the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association.
McGraw-Millhaven, Kevin Lloyd. Two guys who will get you thinking about your future. Listen to When Retirement Happens this Saturday from 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. with McGraw-Millhaven and Kevin Lloyd to get set for your future on the Big 550 KTRS.
Message and data rates may apply.
Ladies, is the man in your life not as energetic or exciting as the guy you fell in love with? Well, it's not his fault. Once a man hits 45, his body has less free testosterone, which can make it a lot harder for him to stay in shape. That's why we want to give your guy a complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix can help boost his free testosterone levels with Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help him feel stronger, more energetic, and more passionate too. So if you want to help the guy in your life feel like the man he used to be, just text MUCH to 42424, and we'll give him a complimentary bottle. Award-winning Nugenix is available at many fine retailers, but you can only get your complimentary bottle from Nugenix. Text MUCH to 42424. Again, text MUCH to 42424.
I'm Anthony Pulis, new head coach of St. Louis FC. We will kick off our fourth season in March and invite you to join us at the Worldwide Technology Soccer Park for all the exciting action of the 2018 season. St. Louis FC games create an authentic, professional soccer experience you won't want to miss.
Season tickets are available now. Or bring your group to a game and enjoy one of the many hospitality areas available at the stadium. There are plenty of ways to enjoy the St. Louis FC experience. To get your tickets, visit stlouisfc.com.
Now at CC's, you can order your own personal pizza. There's thousands of ways to customize it your way, included with your buffet. Just five and change at CC's. Dine in only. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Terry Hall from This Week in Real Estate. This Saturday at 2 o'clock, we're going to have a special edition of This Week in Real Estate. What we do is we take your calls and we help you solve problems about buying and selling a home. So this Saturday at 2 o'clock, join me on the Big 550 KTRS for a special edition of This Week in Real Estate. Bring your problems, bring your concerns. I'm ready to hear them.
David Evanier on the show when he published a biography that he had worked on for many, many years, a biography of Woody Allen, the filmmaker who is still making movies in his 80s and still followed by a controversy that went public back in 2013 when Dylan Farrow, the daughter of Woody's ex-girlfriend Mia Farrow, went public in Vanity Fair magazine with the claims that Woody had sexually assaulted her when she was 7 years old in 1992. Dylan has been making the rounds with this story again. She wrote an op-ed about it for the Los Angeles Times, then got booked onto CBS This Morning last week. once again talking about how she thinks he molested her when she was 7 years old. Woody released a statement that said, quote, when this claim was first made more than 25 years ago, it was thoroughly investigated by both the Child Sexual Abuse Clinic of the Yale New Haven Hospital and New York State Child Welfare. They both did so for many months and independently concluded that no molestation had ever taken place. Instead, they found it likely a vulnerable child had been coached to tell the story by her angry mother during a contentious breakup, unquote. That's the statement that I'm sure Woody Allen's lawyers released on his behalf. Well, in the last few weeks, we've been hearing not only from Dylan Farrow, but also from lots of people who appeared in movies that Woody Allen made. Joaquin Phoenix, Colin Firth, Natalie Portman, Rebecca Hall, who's in his upcoming movie A Rainy Day in New York, for which she has now donated her fee to the Time's Up movement. So did Timothy Chalamet, who's actually an Oscar nominee, not for appearing in a Woody Allen movie, but for Nobody Knows Your Name. What's the name of that movie, Max?
Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name, thank you. Also, other Woody Allen stars, Greta Gerwig, Rachel Brosnahan, Ellen Page, Mira Sorvino, David Krumholtz, they've all come out to try to distance themselves from Woody because of this. Well, for some perspective, I've asked David Evernier to return to the show today and talk about it. Hi, David, how are you?
Fine, Paul. How are you?
Good. What do you think of what these stars have been doing recently?
Well, I think it all issued from the Me Too movement, which I think was a very welcome campaign that was very much needed and airing the truth about many predators. The problem is that that the actors and actresses who are accusing Woody of these things really don't have any knowledge of the case. The case goes back 25 years, and Mia Farrow has been orchestrating this, what Dick Cavett has called a campaign of pathological vengeance, and I really think these actors and actresses simply don't know anything about it.
Do you think that they are equating him with Harvey Weinstein and the like?
Well, there is a tendency to conflate both issues. If you really are not aware of what Mia Farrow is like, the problem is that Dylan has received such a barrage of publicity, and that another child, Dylan's a brother, Moses, who has said very different things about the fact that Woody was innocent of all these charges and that these events never took place, is little known. And the preponderance of publicity is coming from Mia Farrow and her manipulation of her young daughter. And my feeling is that there was an abuser in this case, and the abuser is Mia Farrow, who has conducted this relentless campaign of vengeance, and I really believe that Dylan is a pawn in this what is basically a 25-year-old custody battle. When I spoke to Linda Fairstein, who was a sex crimes prosecutor in New York for 28 years, she said that in cases like this, the degree of vengeance is unbelievable, and that she quoted what Mia said to Woody, "You took my daughter, and I'm going to take yours." She said, "I've got something planned for you," and Woody asked, "What are you going to do? Shoot me?" And Mia replied, "No, this is worse." And from there, the accusations began about Woody abusing Dylan when she was 7 years old in the attic. And that is a very curious fact, by the way. There was a song called With My Daddy in the Attic, written by a very famous songwriter, Dory Previn, who... Dory Previn was married to Andre Previn, and Mia had an affair with Andre Previn, and Dory was very devastated by it. She ultimately committed suicide. And Dory wrote two songs. One song was Beware of Young Girls, which was about Mia Farrow stealing Andre Previn away from her. The second song on the other side of the same record was With My Daddy in the Attic. And in that song, that is a song about incest. Mia undoubtedly heard that song, and I believe that is the basis, the inspiration for her accusations about Woody Allen in the attic with Dylan.
Now, when we talk about these other cases, and I have been talking, of course, about Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein and many of these other men who have rightly been called out by women who have been assaulted or harassed
exactly.
by them. In many cases, in every one of those cases, it's multiple women and it's multiple incidents. How many are there in the Woody Allen allegations?
Exactly one. And of course, just as you were saying, abusers are habitual. And Woody Allen is accused of one act in his late 50s, never accused again of anything. And we're talking about, as I said, conflating the acts of predators like Weinstein and Spacey and a whole group of others with Woody Allen.
You know, David, I remember one of the things you told me when we talked when your book came out in 2015, Woody, a biography. You mentioned that there was something odd about Mia continuing to press these charges through Dylan against Woody. And yet, when he was given the Cecil B. DeMille Award at the Golden Globes 4 or 5 years ago, she okayed the use of clips from his movies that she appeared in, which she could have blocked, right?
Well, she wanted the publicity. I mean, she's done this many times. After she made the accusations, she was still hoping to appear in his next movie, Manhattan Murder Mystery, and was having her wardrobe prepared after accusing Woody of being a monster.
Wow.
She also had a session with a psychologist in which, after these events happened, which she said, "Do you think I should marry him?" It's incredible. I mean, the story of Mia Farrow is an incredible story in itself, and it's to penetrate the veneer of saintliness really would take more time than we have today. But there's been ample testimony by her son Moses Farrow about the way she beat the children and threatened them, coached them, did the very, very things that would have led up to Dylan Farrell's behavior in the last few years.
You're telling me there's evidence that...
An atmosphere of terror.
David, you're telling me there's evidence that Mia Farrow was a child abuser?
The evidence comes from Moses Farrow and Sun Yi.
Who were her children?
Who were her children? The evidence, they don't use they use the term that they were beaten and they were terrified.
Dylan, the now 32-year-old girl, now turned woman, has been on Twitter recently going up against Justin Timberlake because he appeared in Woody's latest movie, Wonder Wheel, which was so bad I didn't even bother going to see it. But Dylan calls Timberlake a hypocrite for working with Woody while at the same time wearing a Time's Up pin at the Golden Globes. Also this week, a woman's group in Spain is demanding that a city there, Oviedo, remove a statue they have of Woody Allen because he made a movie there. Vicky Cristina Barcelona. And there's a theater company that was going to do a production of Woody's Bullets Over Broadway musical. They announced this week that they are canceling that. Now, here's the thing that I don't understand about this, David, and maybe you do and can explain it to me. If this happened 25 years ago, it has not been a secret. This is not something that just came out in the last year. All of these people have known about this since Dylan came forward with it, if not 25 years ago, certainly in Vanity Fair in 2013. And yet, these actors, who are now so embarrassed that they did it, have continued to take jobs with them. Are they being hypocrites here?
There is an element of hypocrisy. You know, there's a feeling of virtue about doing this, particularly if you don't know what the facts are, and it's intermingled with opportunism. And many of these actors and actresses were praising Woody as of 10 minutes ago. So this is a bandwagon, and it will subside in time, but it's very sad about those who are participating in it. And as I said, I truly do not think they know the facts. The Mia persona has been so well developed and orchestrated. By the way, the thing is that every time a Woody film comes out or some event which celebrates Woody, that's when this campaign takes on greater stridency. But the reality is that it coincided this time with the Me Too campaign, which is a very, very honest campaign. And it's just unfortunate that people are being taken in who simply are unaware of the reality of the case.
I remember last year watching the AFI Lifetime Achievement Award, which was given to Diane Keaton. And at the end, she didn't know it, but Woody Allen was there, and he came out on stage as the last guest and had some things to say about working with her and how much he loved her and how much he loved having her as his co-star, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If that were given today, David, do you think Woody would have been allowed within 100 yards of the place?
At the moment, no. But I don't think this is a permanent situation, and Woody will continue to make his films, the great ones, the good ones, the terrible ones, and that's his cycle. But he basically remains totally focused on his work, as he should be.
All right, I want to ask you about one other thing, and that is a phrase that I read about many, many times in the case of Woody Allen, and that is something called induced sexual memory. I'm sure you're familiar with that because you've looked into this story as well. What is it?
Induced sexual memory is planting in the mind of the child a scenario in which that child has been attacked, has been abused. There was a book by Dorothy Rabinowitz which won the Pulitzer Prize on induced sexual memory, and that is exactly what this is all about.
So
the child actually believes it because the brainwashing has gone on so steadily. I don't doubt for a minute that that Dylan believes what she is saying.
It's the same thing that happens when you indoctrinate a child with beliefs in anything. It's how all sorts of bad things get passed on from one generation to another. And in this case, we have what you're saying is a matter of a man and a woman who had an ugly breakup because the man at 55 years old married the 19-year-old daughter of the woman, and so she decided she had to get back at him, and when they were splitting up, she decided she was going to use her own young 7-year-old daughter as a weapon in that divorce, right?
Exactly, and as I said, Linda Fairstein, who had 28 years of experience investigating sex crimes, said she firmly believed that this never occurred.
Doesn't even have a matter of reasonable doubt here.
There is no doubt.
David Evanier's biography of Woody Allen is simply called Woody, a biography. Even above and beyond this, because the book is not entirely about this, it's just a small part of it. And you actually talked to Woody about it, and you've told us what he said. But the rest of it is really an overview of what has been a remarkable film career, even if his output in the last few years has been at best.
Well, remember Midnight in Paris.
That's true, but that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, that's the way it goes. Give him another year or two, and we'll see what happens next.
We'll see. We'll see. I know one other thing I want to ask you about, and I'm running out of time here, so I'll make this quick. Recently, I can't remember who the journalist was, but somebody said they got their hands on Woody Allen's archives, his papers that had been donated somewhere, and this reporter got in there and looked through them and said that they were very disturbed because a lot of the stories had to do with older men and younger women. Are you familiar with this part of the story?
Yes, that was a very sleazy article by, I believe, a writer for Time Out, a throwaway publication here. The thing is that this is where the thought police come in. They are going through Woody's notes and these are notes and these are letters and these are material that form the grist through the mill of his work. He has every right to roam in his mind as to things he's going to write about. I don't think that the notion of an older man with a younger woman is exactly very new in human history. Mia Farrow was 29 years younger than Frank Sinatra when they married.
Mm-hmm. Great points. David, thanks for coming back on the show today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
David Evanier, the author of Woody, A Biography. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right, we are looking at, we got a few things going on. First of all, on westbound 70 near Bermuda, you had an accident. They cleared that, but another one came out that was called a hit and run, and they're looking for some gray vehicle. But traffic has that you have the two right lanes blocked. It's east of Bermuda, and you're jammed up now from about Union all the way out through Bermuda. Now we've got an incident on westbound Highway 4064 between Spady and Ballas that's causing a backup east of Clayton Warson. You've got another accident westbound 40. It's at Chesterfield Parkway East. Now they have moved it off to the right shoulder, but you're running slow from Highway 141. You have normal slowdowns now on eastbound Highway 270 from east of McDonald through 170. Eastbound 4064 downtown is now Jefferson to the Poplar, and southbound Highway 270 a little slow between Page and Ladue, and then again from just north of Manchester down through Highway 44. And this traffic report brought to you by Pringles. Want barbecue ribs without the mess? Stack up Memphis barbecue Pringles, salt and vinegar Pringles, and extra hot flavored Pringles for the barbecue rib stack. Stack different flavors, create endless new ones with Pringles. I'm Tim Weiland from the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center.
Permajack. Solid as rock.
I've heard that Permajack is the best way to stop the damage and cracking caused by a settling foundation. But is it really effective?
The Permajack system supports your home on hydraulically driven steel piers. The support really is solid as rock.
Well, how can you know for sure?
After it's installed, each pier is hydraulically tested.
Aren't other kinds of foundation repair tested?
Old-fashioned concrete reinforcement can't be tested under pressure. You can't be positive the problem is solved.
Does that mean Permajack is harder to install?
Not at all. The Permajack system doesn't require a major excavation. No large crews or heavy equipment. That means less mess, less time, and because it is effective, it's usually less expensive in the long run. Plus, Permajack can be installed year-round, sometimes even from inside the foundation.
Fast, economical, and effective. Permajack is the best.
Permajack. Solid as rock.
Call Permajack today at 636-225-2553.
Hey, it's John Carney, and we're back to Ameristar Casino once again for our annual Carnival, benefiting the charities served by Carney's kids. 13 of the area's best restaurants, places like Nudo House, La Russo's, Pappy's, Pueblo Solis, and the High Point Drive-In, all coming together to prepare an incredible meal for you. Follow that up with great stand-up comedy from people like Augie Smith and St. Louis favorite Dale Jones.
My dad kicked me out of the house one time for wetting the bed, believe that, wetting. Of course, I was 22. And I was standing on the dresser. I believe that's what woke him up.
Throw in an amazing auction, and you have a night to remember. Saturday, February 24th. Get Carnival on your calendar and get your tickets now at carneyskids.com. Presented by Hallmark Stone and Maryland Heights Fire District.
This is Larry Connors. I want to remind you, this is a good time to call John Beal and have our professionals take a look at your roof. Get any issues fixed before we get heavy thunderstorms. And John Beal has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And with John Beal, you get our low price guarantee. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Get booked on the schedule before the bad weather. Call the roofing company I'm proud to endorse. Call my friend John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
If you've been in business for over 67 years, you must be treating the customers right. If you need your heating and air conditioning repaired or replaced, call the people I rely on, Gelmish & Sons.